What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Rescue efforts are underway after devastating earthquakes hit Syria and Turkey.
People have been describing how they are digging through rubble for their loved ones with their hands. They've been waiting for rescuers to arrive, but the destruction is of such a scale that there aren't enough responders to go around yet.
Plus, how India's Adani Group is trying to shore up investor confidence. And the AI wars heat up as Google looks to compete with ChatGPT. It's Monday, February 6th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The death toll following two powerful successive earthquakes in Turkey and Syria had risen to about 3,800 people as of late Monday afternoon Eastern Time. What you're hearing is the sound of men clearing rubble in the Syrian city of Aleppo as rescuers there and elsewhere undertake a massive operation to find survivors. The first 7.8 magnitude quake was felt across four countries this morning, followed by a series of aftershocks and then a separate 7.5 magnitude quake in the afternoon. Thousands more people have been injured and thousands of buildings destroyed. Our Middle East and North Africa Bureau Chief Michael Amon has been coordinating our coverage, and he joins me now. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Michael, to start, can you tell us a bit more about the area where these quakes occurred and the scope of the damage that we know right now?
Yeah, this is a densely populated area, much of it urban in southern Turkey, and the effects were felt all the way through very densely populated areas in Syria, including Aleppo. The scope of the damage is just devastating. It's the worst earthquake in a generation in Turkey. It's the worst one I've seen in this region. The casualties are mounting. Nobody knows how high this toll will go. Entire blocks are leveled in cities like Gaziantep and Aleppo. It's an area that has housing stock that's known to be older and of shaky quality, and that's led to just a devastating effect.
Michael, what can you tell us about this area's predilection to seismic activity?
This is a very earthquake-prone part of the world. This part of Turkey sits at the junction of three tectonic plates. There are earthquakes in the area from time to time of varying seriousness, but there's never been anything this bad in at least 24 years. The last big one was in 1999 when an earthquake of more than 7 magnitude hit Istanbul. That was a society-shaking event that destroyed much of the city and actually led to a push for a new infrastructure that reshaped what Istanbul looks like. And I think we're looking at a similar sort of moment in Turkey where a natural disaster changes how people move forward with their lives.
And as we are speaking, night has already fallen in this area. What are the biggest challenges right now?
People have been describing how they are digging through rubble for their loved ones with their hands. They've been waiting for rescuers to arrive, but the destruction is of such a scale that there aren't enough responders to go around yet. People have described running outside and waiting outside and not wanting to go back in because they're too afraid of their buildings collapsing again. The biggest challenge is the sheer scope of the destruction. Digging into these collapsed buildings is dangerous work and they have to go slowly. This has happened in the middle of winter in Turkey, and not only just the middle of winter, but in the middle of a winter storm. It's been very difficult for rescuers to reach more remote locations. There's snow, there's ice, the temperatures are freezing. So it's just a very difficult situation right now for them.
Michael, as we know, there are already several compounding tragedies impacting many of the people who are now in the aftermath of these major earthquakes. Ongoing war in Syria, millions of people who have been displaced by that war, and a dire economic situation as well. Can you talk about some of those compounding factors here?
Yeah, I think people are just saying that they can't believe this is happening on top of everything else that has happened. As you mentioned, in Syria, we're at the back end of a civil war that has gone on for more than a decade. You know, more than 500,000 people killed, millions of people displaced. This area hit an area of refugee camps with makeshift housing. This area hit Idlib in northwest Syria, which is the last rebel-controlled area of Syria, and it's run by jihadists, and getting aid there and getting emergency responders in there is just going to be extremely complicated given the political situation there. And as you mentioned, it's the economic crisis that's already happening in Syria, but also in Turkey, where there's been a currency crisis. It's just really piling on for people.
The damage, we've learned, has also forced the shutdown of Syria's main oil refinery, according to a state news agency. What can you tell us about the impact, the likely impact of that closure going forward?
It's going to add to an ongoing fuel crisis in Syria. As the Wall Street Journal reported, Iran had cut off all supplies to Syria in recent months as Iran goes through its own economic crisis. And that has left Syria with fewer and fewer options for fuel. There's long lines for gasoline in Syria, and closing down the main oil refinery is just going to add to the problems.
You mentioned that it is going to be difficult to get the needed aid in. Can you tell us about what international aid has been pledged so far?
The offers of international aid have been coming in from around the world. President Biden is sending teams to Turkey to help authorities there deal with the fallout from the earthquakes. Russia has pledged aid. And even Israel has pledged aid to its one of its biggest enemies, Syria. Azerbaijan has offered 400 rescue workers to Turkey, and that they can come in fairly quickly. But other forms of aid are going to take time. There's a lot of logistics to getting people into these areas, and there will be a whole process for getting monetary aid in. So I think that in the immediate future, people are going to be relying on local authorities in Turkey, and in some cases in places like Idlib, they're going to be relying on jihadists and volunteers.
Wall Street Journal, Middle East and North Africa Bureau Chief Michael Amon. Michael, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Coming up, the top business and financial news today. That's after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Now some more top news headlines. Indian conglomerate Adani Group has announced plans to prepay a $1.1 billion loan that was backed by shares of some of its companies ahead of its maturity in September of 2024. It's viewed as an effort to boost investor confidence following a precipitous decline in Adani's stock prices. That began after short seller Hindenburg Research published a report accusing Adani of widespread fraud, which Adani has denied. The seven publicly listed companies bearing the Adani name have lost around $111 billion in value since the report was released late last month. Layoff announcements are still coming in from the tech industry. Dell is the latest, saying it plans to cut 5% of its workforce, or about 6,600 jobs. Continued inflation, rising interest rates, and tightening monetary conditions have led a series of tech giants, including Microsoft and Amazon, to trim their ranks. Large companies in other sectors, like 3M, FedEx, and Dow Chemical, have followed suit, with all three announcing layoffs in recent weeks. Google is rolling out a conversational artificial intelligence service called Bard that would compete with the popular ChatGPT. The experimental service is only available to select testers for now, but the company is planning on broadening its launch in the coming weeks. In a blog post, CEO Sundar Pichai offered a glimpse of Bard's abilities by asking it a question and getting a clear response. The release comes as rival Microsoft announces its own multi-year partnership with ChatGPT maker OpenAI and the chatbot's planned integration into Microsoft's Bing search engine. And the U.S. housing market is showing signs of thawing. Mortgage rates, which hit a 20-year high of more than 7% in November, have fallen a full percentage point since then. Wall Street Journal banking and finance reporter Ben Eisen says that's bringing new buyers into the market.
The housing market is really an early indicator of how the economy is kind of responding to everything that's happened in recent weeks. We've seen a strong loosening of financial conditions. We've seen stocks and bonds rebound to start the year. And, you know, there's this sort of widespread belief that inflation is coming down. And at the same time, the U.S. isn't going to kind of go into a deep recession as a result. And that's kind of bringing back a lot of activity that we had seen go away when rates were rising.
You can hear more from Ben on today's episode of our personal finance podcast, Your Money Briefing. And finally, on Saturday, a Los Angeles celebrity, the late mountain lion known as P22, got the star treatment, a sold-out celebration of life at the nearly 6,000-seat Greek Theater. P22's story is one of tragedy and heroics. Defying the odds, he somehow managed to cross 10 lanes of California freeway years ago, making his home in Griffith Park in the Hollywood Hills. Allison Brooker, who lives at the edge of the park, had always hoped for a glimpse of the lion. Though she never got one, she admired him from afar and attended the memorial in his honor.
People were always posting videos of him walking by the street, walking by their house and on their Ring camera. So I've always been looking for him and always just been wishing him well.
P22 was beloved by paparazzi, residents, and wildlife conservationists who dubbed him the Brad Pitt of the cougar world. But recently, the big cat's behavior had grown erratic, with attacks on two chihuahuas. He was captured late last year and euthanized after medical experts found he'd been hit by at least one car and was suffering from other illnesses. Our reporter Alicia Caldwell says P22's life has inspired action, too.
His mere existence in Griffith Park in the Hollywood Hills sparked conservation efforts. In fact, there is a massive wildlife crossing being built here in LA in his honor. So environmentalists and wildlife conservationists have been pushing for years for a wildlife corridor crossing, and they achieved it. They are building a multi-million dollar wildlife crossing over the 101. It's not named for him, but certainly will be in his honor, and there's ongoing conservation efforts. There's talks of a statue or a plaque in the park in his honor, and other memorials around the city.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.